Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
This program is sponsored by the Alan Churchill Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG 1WO. This is Alan Churchill speaking. Today, the Reverend Donald Crisp, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church of Smiths Falls, will be bringing the message. Welcome, Don, and thanks for being here again.
Again, Alan, thank you for inviting me.
Don is bringing a message today, Lessons from the Life of Fanny. But first, let's listen as Karen Peck and Larry Ford from the Gaither Homecoming sing, He Hideth My Soul. Minister the word to us.
Thank you, Alan. My theme today, as you've already mentioned, is Lessons from the Life of Fanny. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 14 to 16, "Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." There you have it, God's will for our lives. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. Now, with that as a biblical foundation in place, we have a basic understanding of God's will for our lives. We can learn more, I believe, life lessons from a lady known in her day as Aunt Fanny. Fanny Crosby was born March 24, 1820, as Frances Jane Crosby. Her parents were Mercy and John Crosby. 1 month following Fanny's birth, the Crosbys were alarmed. Something was wrong with Fanny's eyes through the error of a physician who was treating Fanny's eyes. Baby Fanny was now left blind. 8 months after Fanny's birth, her dad died. That was in November 1820. This left her mom, Mercy, at the age of 21, a widow with a family of 5 to take care for and to provide for. You know, one life lesson I've learned years ago is this: where God guides, He also provides. In this case, the provisionary gift from God to this family was Fanny's grandmother, her grandmother Eunice. Eunice decided she would be her granddaughter's eyes, and she began to mentor Fanny in life skills. Eunice taught her granddaughter about botany. Fanny learned to identify trees and flowers by touch and smell. Eunice would have Fanny play with a pile of leaves and then asked her to identify each leaf. Eunice, without an education, taught Fanny to memorize and recite Milton, Shakespeare, and Chapman's Homer, as well as Bunyan's classic, The Pilgrim's Progress. Eunice also taught Fanny the Bible. We're told that Fanny had much of the Bible memorized. And oh yes, she taught her to pray. Life lesson number one, I'm calling an attitude of gratitude. And I believe that's exactly what we see in the life of Fanny Crosby. The Serenity Prayer that we know so well, written by Reinhold Niebuhr in 1926, goes like this. Usually we just hear the first part of it. Let me just give you all the words. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as the pathway to peace, taking, as he did, this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that he will make all things right if I surrender to his will, that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with him forever in the next. Now there's an attitude of gratitude. Fanny Crosby, at age 8, wrote these words. Oh, what a happy child I am, although I cannot see. I am resolved that in this world, contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. So weep or sigh because I'm blind, I cannot, nor I won't. Now that's an attitude of gratitude. Fanny was married March 5th, 1858, to Alexander Van Alstyne. In 1859, Fanny became a mother. Oh, but how sad. The baby died in infancy. Fanny never spoke of it. 9 years later, in the year 1868, Fanny wrote this hymn, "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior." We can hear Fanny's cry to the Lord as she penned those words, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art smiling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by." D.L. Moody and Ira Sanka said of this woman that she was the reason for the success of their evangelical campaigns. It was at these revivals that Fanny came alive in her faith in Christ. Did you know that in 95 years, Fanny wrote some 9,000 hymns, more than anyone else in recorded Christian history? And did you know she received but a dollar for each one of those hymns that she wrote? That's probably why she always lived in the slums. Fanny defined a hymn, and I want us to really catch this. She defined a hymn as a song of the heart addressed to God. If only we in the church today could embrace music, yes, the old and the new, with an attitude of gratitude, with an attitude that is prayerfully saying that this hymn, this chorus, this praise song is a song of the heart addressed to God. Here are some of the hymns of the heart that Fanny wrote that are still familiar to many of us today. Jesus, keep me near the cross. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Oh, yes, pass me not. I am thine, O Lord. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. All the way my Savior leads me. And one of my very favorites, he hideth my soul. A wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. Wow, those words still to this day take my breath away. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hands. These words are truly from Fanny's heart, as this song was written and addressed to the very heart of God. Oh, yes, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks with an attitude of gratitude. Let's listen to an attitude of gratitude from a lady who loved God. This is what she said. It seemed intended by the blessed providence of God that I should be blind all my life, and I thank him for that dispensation. If perfect earthly sight were offered me tomorrow, I would not accept it. I might have sung hymns to the praise of God if I had not been distracted by the beautiful and interesting things about me. Have you come to that place, folks, and a time in your life that you're accepting and rejoicing and thanking God for the road that he chose for you to travel? Are you trusting his plan for your life? God says in Jeremiah chapter 29, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." Are you practicing his will for your life? Are you rejoicing and praying and thanking him for the road that you are traveling, no matter how difficult a road it is? Life lesson number one, an attitude of gratitude. Life lesson number two, an attitude of grace. When asked about evangelism and sharing the story of the cross with those who are lost, Fanny spoke with an attitude of grace. Listen to her words. "Don't tell me a man is a sinner. You can't save a man by telling him of his sins. He knows them already. Tell him there is pardon awaiting him and love waiting for him. Win his confidence and make him understand that you can believe in him and you will believe in him and will never give up on him." Oh, yes. Now that's our Lord's grace. Fanny was reminding us of our loving Savior, a Savior who, with arms wide open, who is saying to the world, "Come to me, all you who are laboring and heavy laden, I will give you rest." Actually, Jesus will give you love and peace and joy, the exact things people are looking for today. Yes, we need to know that Jesus, and in him there is forgiveness and there is love. And folks, that is grace. Life lesson number three, an attitude that glorifies God. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says, "Whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." For me, this means to live well and to die well. This means live your life, bringing honor and glory to him, because it's not about us, it's about him. Fanny lived her life dedicated to God's glory. Yes, even as she wrote these words, "To God be the glory, great things he have done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life, an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in." Fanny lived well, and she died well. She never drew attention to herself in life or in death. It was 1955 when nothing was to mark Fanny Crosby's grave except a tiny marble stone with the word, "Aunt Fanny, she have done what she could." Yes, in 1955, there were the words that were added to that marble stone. Actually, a greater stone was placed there. And now it reads, as of May 1st, 1955, it reads, "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of the Spirit, washed in his blood." What a truth for each one of us to embrace. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Let's listen to Alan Jackson singing of this blessed assurance from his Precious Memories CD.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, ring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Praising my Savior all the day long.
I began by saying, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Have you entered into God's will for your life? Are you able to rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in everything? Can you say today that you have an attitude of gratitude, an attitude of grace, an attitude that glorifies the living God? If you haven't entered into God's will and God's plans for your life, let me ask you this question. Do you know who you are and where you are going? The year 2000 in January, the leaders in Charlotte, North Carolina, invited their favorite son, you know who he is, Billy Graham. They invited him to a luncheon in his honor. Billy initially hesitated to accept the invitation. He was struggling with Parkinson's disease at that time in particular. But the Charlotte leader said to him, Billy, we don't expect a major address from you. Just come and let us honor you. After wonderful things were said about Billy Graham, he stepped to the podium and he looked at the crowd, and this is what he said. Today, I'm reminded of Albert Einstein, the great physicist, who this month has been honored by Time magazine as the man of the century. Albert Einstein. He said, let me tell you a story about Albert Einstein. One day he was traveling from Princeton on a train where the conductor came down the aisle, punching the tickets for every passenger. When he came to Einstein, Einstein reached into his vest pocket. Couldn't find the ticket. He reached into his trouser pockets. Couldn't find the ticket. It wasn't there. He looked in his briefcase, but he couldn't find it. He looked at the seat beside him. He still couldn't find it. The conductor said, Dr. Einstein, I know who you are. We all know who you are. I'm sure you bought a ticket. Don't worry about it. Einstein nodded appreciatively. The conductor continued down the aisle, punching the tickets, and just when he was ready to move to the next car, he turned around and he saw the great physician down on his hands and knees looking under his seat for the ticket. The conductor rushed back and said, Dr. Einstein, Dr. Einstein, don't worry. Don't worry about it. I told you I know who you are. There's no problem. You don't need a ticket. I'm sure you bought one. Einstein looked at him and he said, young man, I too know who I am, but the fact is I don't know where I'm going. Having said that, Billy Graham said, do y'all see the suit I'm wearing? It's brand new. It's a brand new suit. Oh yes, my children and my grandchildren have been telling me I've gotten a little slovenly in my old age. I used to be a bit more fastidious. So I went out and I bought a new suit for this luncheon. and for one other occasion. Do you know what occasion that is? He asked. This suit in which I am wearing is the suit that I will be buried in. And when you hear I'm dead, I don't want you to immediately to remember the suit I'm wearing, but I want you to remember this. I not only know who I am, I also know where I am going. As I think upon those words, I'm reminded of February 1973, where I stood myself, living in Toronto. I stood on the 8th floor balcony. Oh, it was about 4 o'clock in the morning, and I looked up into the sky. I wasn't a believer. I didn't think about God. I didn't know God, but my life was a mess. I didn't know who I was, and I didn't know where I was going. And yet I reached out to the Lord that night. I asked him to come into my heart and into my life and to save me. And from that moment on, he did marvelous things in my life. And to this day, I now know who I am, and I know where I am going. You know, that's my prayer for you. Do you know who you are? Have you come to terms with who you are in Christ? And the fact of the matter is, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, that if you were to die right now, then you would immediately be absent from your body and present with the Lord, heaven-bound, glory-bound, simply because of what he did on the cross. I'm going to ask you if you'd pray with me right now. Father in heaven, I just ask right now in the name of Jesus Christ that you would search deep within my heart and in my life. I pray right now, Father, that you would save me, that you would love me, that you would forgive me, that you would give me that hope that I need to go forward in my life. Oh, God, I pray right now that Jesus Christ would not only be my Savior, but in fact that he would be my Lord, that he would be the one who helps me make the decisions of my life, that he would be my wisdom, that he would be my guide, that he would be my all in all. Lord, I want him to be Lord of all, Lord of every area of my life. So I surrender now. Come into my life and into my heart, Lord Jesus. Amen. So again, friends, do you know where you're going? The Bible says now is the hour of salvation. There is salvation in no other name but the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus who said, I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. Whoever believes in me will have eternal life. Yes, whoever makes that trust decision in Jesus receives forgiveness and love and peace, both now and forevermore. Why don't we pray and ask God for some of us to ask God to forgive us and to save us, for others to ask God to lead us right into the center of his will for our lives. But for all of us, we need to ask God to lead, guide, and provide. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, hear our prayer. We pray right now that you would come into our lives and forgive us. Lord, may we just bathe ourselves in your love right now. Lord, we want to give you control of our life, and we do so right now in the name of Jesus. We ask our Heavenly Father that you would just love us completely. We ask right now, Father, that you would set us in your will according to your plan so that we can rejoice evermore and pray without ceasing, and in everything that happens to us in our lives that we would give you thanks, knowing full well that this is your will for us. Thank you, Father. We love you and we thank you for loving us first. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Don, for being with us today and for bringing that powerful message of salvation and hope, learning lessons from the life of Fanny. And listeners, I want to thank you for your encouragement, prayer, and financial support. You keep us on the air week by week. Thank you for your support. Don't forget to worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and where it is lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. Thank you, Father, for all that you do for us, and help us to be faithful. Now, to conclude our program, here are Fanny Crosby's own words, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior, from the Timeless Songs of the Church, arranged and orchestrated by Don Marsh. May you know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deep within your heart. And may the Heavenly Father surround you with his constant and abiding and accompanying love.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior.
News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.